You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. Best in the business, once again back in business. I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate the Professor Christian. Nate, what's up, man?
Hey, Mike. You know, like I've been saying all season, you know, things have been going well for the Ravens. They continue to go well for the Ravens. It was a little nervous of a first half, but it worked out pretty well. And I really enjoyed the game because I was at the game, Mike, this weekend. I was at M&T Bank Stadium for that beatdown. Texans in the playoffs.
Beautiful. Glad that you got to go. Glad you got to enjoy it. I didn't get to see much of the game, but you know, I'm cheering for the Ravens a little bit here. It's funny, they put a map up of, you know, like the whole country, and it's like who's so everyone cheering for. I can tell you the state of Pennsylvania is not cheering for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that. So at least I'm not.
Not the Kelsey love?
No. No, the Chiefs just beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl last year. Why would we cheer for them to beat the Ravens? There's like this imaginary thing where Eagles fans hate the Ravens.
I've never had any issues. We're usually like, you know, birds of a feather stick together, right?
Different conference, different division. We play them once every 4 years. There's just not enough. The Ravens have only been in existence since 1996. So they haven't even been around long enough to hate. It's ridiculous. Yeah. The matchup I want Ravens Lions in the Super Bowl would be really cool. I would love to see that, something just a little different. But you know, maybe you can't avoid that Kansas City matchup too. You never know.
We'll see. But we'll see how it goes.
There are some wide receivers you can avoid in 2024. And I want to just remind you guys, our DMs are always open on our Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyRewind. Do a 7-day free trial. You will not regret it. Also, if you just want bonus pods, we have discounted the price for our Spotify subscriptions. So you get all the bonus pods there too, if you want to check that out. But let's talk about some players that we're avoiding. And we're not just going to tell you, hey, we don't want that guy. Miss me with that. We're going to tell you who we would target instead. Now, the value might be different. Maybe they're valued higher or lower than what we were looking at up for the prior wide receiver. But that's okay. We'll explain that as well. Nate, who is the first wide receiver that you are avoiding next year?
Yep. The first wide receiver that I'm avoiding for next year is Jameson Williams. And right now, the Detroit Lions, they're in the playoffs and things are looking good. Jameson Williams is back in the offense. He's getting used. And look, it's been fun. Look, I have some Jameson shares myself, but he didn't have the rookie season that we wanted. He hasn't really had the sophomore season we wanted. 28 catches for 408 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's done just enough not to be considered a bust, but come on, through 2 years of his career, he hasn't even broken 100 yards yet in a game. He has not been that productive first-round wide receiver that a lot of us really hoped for. And I'm worried about his ceiling in this offense. You know, of course, we got Amon-Ra St. Brown there, who's one of the best wide receivers in the league and one of the like biggest target hogs in the league as well. And then now we have the emergence of Sam Laporta, who is another huge target for the Lions and someone that they're going to continue to have in their offense is only going to get better. So Jameson Williams' role in this offense has really been limited to that deep threat, which is something that we were afraid of before, but now we're seeing it. He had a 9.8% target share, which was 83rd in the NFL. He has a 16-yard average depth of target, which was top 5 in the NFL. So you see that usage not being used very often and when he is being used down the field. And 1.37 yards per route run. Not terrible, but, Mike, not great either. Look, I'm avoiding Jameson Williams. And with that, I'm targeting Christian Kirk.
Okay. All right.
Coming off the injury.
We're getting older, though. Are you concerned about that?
We are. But okay. Christian Kirk's only going to be 27 at the start of the season.
Fair enough.
It's not like he's 30 or 31. He's in his prime right now. So you still have another 2-3 years with Christian Kirk. which with Jameson Williams, do I even have 2 or 3 years of significant production from him? I'm questioning that at this point. So, you know, I'm targeting a guy like Christian Kirk, who I think is a good value right now. You can probably pick him up for like a mid-second. One kind of trade I like here is maybe trading away Cooper Kupp for Christian Kirk and a second-round pick. I think you can make something like that happen. Maybe like it have to be like a late second, I think, but might be able to pull that off. You know, Christian Kirk coming off the injury. But Christian Kirk, 4.4 yards after the catch per reception, 71.3% catch rate. So he's catching like most of his targets. He's creating yards after the catch, 13.8 yards per catch, which is pretty good for a guy who's going to get a lot of targets. Usually those, you know, PPR receivers are closer to 10 yards per reception. But Christian Kirk, with his ability to create yards after the catch, does a little bit better than that. And, you know, he had a good season with Trevor Lawrence, 57 catches for 788 yards and 3 touchdowns in 12 games. And Calvin Ridley's likely headed out. I don't think they're going to re-sign him. If they do, they have to give the Atlanta Falcons a second-round pick to re-sign him to a contract extension. So I think Ridley's on his way out. I do think they bring in more wide receiver competition. But come on, Christian Kirk has that spot, that slot spot, locked down. And he's going to continue to produce next year, the year after that, be Trevor Lawrence's top receiver. And I love the value right now in Christian Kirk, who's kind of being forgotten about.
You want to know something funny, too? In Jameson Williams' career, his highest target, the highest he's ever been targeted in a game, was this year against Denver. 7 targets. Do you know what he did with that, Nate?
Was it even more than 50 yards?
4 catches for 47 yards. So I don't I see where you're coming from. I don't hate it. You just want somebody who's more consistent.
Yeah, you know, and I love Jameson Williams coming out of college.
Yeah, we all did. One thing that I think we can't forget about, too, Josh Reynolds is in there. Josh Reynolds takes a pretty good amount of targets as well. Jared Goff seems to like him and trust him. And I'm not going to tell you that Josh Reynolds is like a super solid dynasty buy or anything like that, but he's a detriment to a guy like Jameson Williams, and that's why a guy like him matters. So I like where your head's at here. While you're avoiding one and going with the other. And let's start with mine. I'm avoiding Treylon Burks. I'll tell you why. In his 2-year career, Nate, he has missed 12 games for either injuries or was just inactive. Listed as did not play. He has less than 700 career receiving yards. I'm pretty sure that he has, who has less? Jameson Williams still has less than Treylon Burks, but you know. The Titans offense, we think it's going to be better next year. They hired the offensive coordinator from the Bengals. His name is escaping me at the moment.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head either. But
that guy, that's who they hired. Sorry, we'll get there. So the offense should be better, but will Treylon Burks be better? Because he can't stay on the field. Maybe he's a screaming buy low candidate, but unfortunately, I don't think you could buy Treylon Burks low. Just like you can't buy Drake London low, even though these guys have been inconsistent throughout their careers, the value is still high. People aren't selling them low. He was wide receiver 61 on keep trade cut. He was wide receiver 123 on the season. 16 catches, 221 yards, and a big old goose egg.
He's been a disappointment, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Especially for me.
So this one might sound crazy because I'm going from one guy, you know, I'm avoiding one. And I'm targeting Jonathan Mingo instead. Now, he's close in value. He's wide receiver 58, so he's valued a little higher. And you're shaking your head. I understand. Let me get there.
I'm shaking my head, Mike, because I was talking about buying Jonathan Mingo throughout the season, and you were trashing me. And now here we are when he's just finished his disappointing season. And you're like,
the offseason has a different luster to it than during the season, Nate. And you know that as well as I do. He's going to be cheaper than Treylon, even though he's valued a little higher and keep trade cut. Carolina offense was just terrible. It was even worse than Tennessee's was. He was wide receiver 81 in the season, 43 catches, 485 yards, and no touchdowns. While he didn't miss any games, I do think he's a more physical wide receiver than Treylon Burks. You know, Treylon Burks, a lot of people, I think when they scouted him coming out of Arkansas, they saw his frame. And they're like, oh, he's a physical wide receiver. But big does not mean physical. I've seen offensive linemen just get flat out pushed around. If you're an Eagles fan and you remember the name King Dunlap, he was 6'9" and he would get pushed over by defensive ends that were 6'1". He sucked. Treylon Burks was not super physical coming out of Arkansas. I do think Jonathan Mingo is more physical. And I think right now you could try to do like an early third for Mingo, maybe a couple staggered thirds, and he's valued around players like Ty Chandler and Tyler Allgeier. These are players that are declining dynasty assets. Maybe Tyler Allgeier will always have some sort of role on the Falcons somewhere in the NFL, but I do think Jonathan Mingo long-term is a better investment than a player like Tyler Allgeier or Ty Chandler.
I don't know, man. I don't hate the buy for Jonathan Mingo because I think you can get him for a third pretty easily at this point. You know, he didn't break the 500-yard mark, which is what we really want to see a rookie do. He ran a lot of routes and didn't have a lot of production. But, you know, I still have some belief in Jonathan Mingo. Tyler Allgeier, though, you know, as much as I have never been a fan of the guy, he does seem like a player who's going to stick around for a while and just pop up pretty often in a significant way. Just, hey, you got to start this guy for a couple of weeks and he's going to give you good points.
Well, we're hoping now that Arthur Smith is out in Atlanta. That'll bring some more clarity to, hey, you have Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts and Drake London. Maybe use them would be nice.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. You know what else sounds like a good idea? Hang tight. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Fantastic. Welcome back, everybody. And now Nate is going to... I was going to say something fancy there. I don't know. My brain's not working. Nate is going to tell us his second wide receiver that he's avoiding and who he's targeting instead.
Yep. I'm avoiding someone that people are going to be labeling a post-hype sleeper this offseason, and that's Quentin Johnston. Okay, he's got the first-round draft capital. He had the hype coming out of TCU, and he disappointed us this season. Look, it was not great. 38 receptions, 431 yards, 2 touchdowns, 11.3 yards per catch. Like I talked about it just before, Jonathan Mingo didn't reach that 500-yard mark. Neither did Quentin Johnston. And that is really concerning for me. There's going to be a lot of people who are saying, you know, yeah, it's not really yet. Not really yet, Mike. We're still disappointed in the season. But we see it every single year that there's a player in the first round who doesn't do as well as expected. The hype starts to build back up in the offseason because we haven't seen him on the field in a while. And like Quentin Johnston, he's got the first round draft capital. Keenan Allen's a year older. Mike Williams coming off the injury. Both are possible cap casualties. Yep. Quentin Johnston, maybe he's the wide receiver one for Justin Herbert going forward, just like we thought he might be. Look, I only have interest in Quentin Johnston if he's getting moved into a different role, which could happen as well with the new staff coming in. If you're looking at Quentin Johnston as a big slot that you get the ball in his hands and let him create yards after the catch, I think that's something we could, you know, maybe have some better production with Quentin Johnston, but have him as a deep threat alpha sideline receiver just isn't really his forte. So unless that changes, I'm avoiding him. Look, the efficiency was not great, 0.88 yards per route run, 4.0 yards after the catch per reception, which is not great, Mike. Not great for a guy that was labeled someone who can create yards after the catch. And 31.8% contested catch rate wasn't one of the contested catches either. Mike, I went to pull this stat out. First round wide receivers to play a full season and have less than 500 yards since 2010. Quentin Johnston, Cordell Patterson. That's it. Those are the only first round wide receivers to not have 500 yards in their first season when playing a full season. Well, So I'm avoiding Quentin Johnston. Who am I targeting? I'm targeting Khalil Shakir.
Okay.
The Buffalo Bills, who's looked good in the playoffs. I'll take the playoff bump of Khalil Shakir because he finished the year with 39 receptions, 611 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's 15.7 yards per catch, Mike, which is pretty impressive.
That is.
Anything above 15 is pretty impressive. And look, I took this off of Ian Harditz on Twitter. Last 10 Bills games, receiving yards, Khalil Shakir, 462, Stephon Diggs, 422. So close, but Khalil Shakir is leading in receiving yards over Stephon Diggs over the past 10 games, Mike. But here's the kicker. Target-wise, Shakir has 37 targets. Stephon Diggs has 80. 80 targets, over double.
It's especially impressive when you consider Khalil Shakir, a third-round pick a couple years ago, considered just more of a depth receiver. And Stephon Diggs is supposed to be the alpha in that room. And so for Khalil Shakir to do this, it's extremely impressive, in my opinion.
It really is. And also, Mike, he was a fifth-round pick.
Khalil Shakir was?
Yeah, fifth-round pick.
I don't know.
Should have been a third-round pick, though.
I don't know why I thought he was. Well, Stephon Diggs was fifth-round pick too, right?
He was.
There you go. Maryland.
I was over here saying that Khalil Shakir should have been a day two wide receiver.
Maryland.
You're me right now. I know. Look, we're talking about yards after the catch per reception. Khalil Shakir, 7.0. I don't know why I said that. Just seven yards after the catch per reception, which is really impressive. That's a really good number there, Mike. Also 1.7 yards per route run. 76.8% of his snaps were run out of the slot. And we saw what Cole Beasley did a couple years ago in that Buffalo Bills offense. Sure. That slot receiver, when he has a really good slot receiver, Josh Allen loves throwing to the slot. He's not just out there throwing contested catches. He loves throwing to that his receiver out of the slot. That's why they got Dalton Kincaid. Khalil Shakir has taken off as well. His ability to catch the ball and create yards after the catch while also getting down the field. He had a great catch just this past weekend in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs for a touchdown. And speaking of his great catch, great catching ability, great hands, some of the best hands I thought in last year's class. Only one drop this year, Mike, and a 60% contested catch rate, you know, for not being the biggest wide receiver out there. So I'm going after Khalil Shakir. I think you can get him right now for a late second. The price is only going to rise, I think, over the offseason as people continue to fade Diggs, as people continue to get excited about what's next for the Buffalo Bills. Gabe Davis is also a free agent. A lot of things moving in Khalil Shakir's direction.
All right, so you hear that Nate is targeting Khalil Shakir, a.k.a. the poor man's Malachi Corley. So let's move on to the next wide receiver that I'm avoiding. This shouldn't be news to anybody who listens to this channel. Christian Watson. Oh, hey, I'm avoiding another player who misses a lot of time and is, in my opinion, overvalued. I'm more concerned with his injuries. They're all soft tissue. They're all hamstring issues. It's just concerning at this point. He couldn't connect with Aaron Rodgers when he was there, and he's missing valuable time with Jordan Love right now. So, you know, he was also limited, Nate, to being the fourth most productive wide receiver on the team. Now, he only played 9 games, but still, this is a guy, first-round pick, very highly thought of by a lot of analysts, highly sought after. Check this out. He had 422 yards, and that's after Jaden Reed's 793, Romeo Dubs with 674, and, oh, by the way, Dontavian Wicks, I learned how to catch in the NFL, had 581. He was wide receiver 30 on Keep Trade Cut currently. Wide receiver is 68 on the season. Call me crazy, but I'd rather have Josh Palmer instead. And, you know, I wanted to make another point, too, about your whole Quentin Johnston point. Another great reason to avoid him. When Josh Palmer went down, Mike Williams went down. Everyone's like, here's Quentin Johnston's time to shine. He did not do that at all.
And who stepped up? Josh Palmer.
He might have sucked worse. But let's talk about Josh Palmer. Wide receiver 62 on Keep Trade Cut. Wide receiver 65 on the season. He did sustain a knee injury, which limited him to, I believe, 12 games. Very good rapport with Justin Herbert prior to his injury. A quality possession receiver. I think he could take over the Keenan Allen role when he leaves. I know he plays outside, and Keenan Allen is the primary slot wide receiver. When I say take over the Keenan Allen role, I mean the first guy that Justin Herbert looks to. That's the role that I'm saying. Not that he's going to be a one-for-one going in the slot. I just think he could be Josh Allen's guy. So right now you could get Josh Palmer for like a late second. You could try for an early third, maybe some staggered thirds. He's also valued around players like Chig. I don't know how to say his full name. Onkonkwo, the tight end from Tennessee. J.K. Dobbins, Tyler Lockett, and Damian Pierce, who really underwhelmed this past season. Hate to say you were right, Nate, but you were right.
You know, sometimes I am. How about that? Yeah. Hey, Josh Palmer, also in the last year of his deal, going into a contract year, so expect him to ball out.
I do, too. Yeah. I mean, he was on a really good tear until he got hurt, too. I mean, he was looking good. You know, and he was a guy that I think you and I had a conversation about prior to last season. It wasn't on the pod. It's like, should we cut this guy or what? I decided to hang on a little bit, and I'm glad I did. So, Nate,
Josh Palmer for the win. He's a great long-term investment.
So we're rolling through the playoffs right now, the NFL playoffs. And that means the scrub pick of the week. We got two more.
You don't want to do one for the Pro Bowl?
No, I don't want the Pro Bowl to even exist.
Oh man. I love the Pro Bowl.
Just do a Madden simulation of the Pro Bowl.
We'll do the flag football game.
That's terrible.
I wish the Pro Bowl was better.
Yeah, so do I. I wish the Pro Bowl was, if it was half as good as the NHL All-Star game, we'd be good.
Hmm.
So, but Nate, why don't you recap last week and tell us what you got for this week?
Yeah, so last week, OBJ, that was the player that we were taking a look at in the matchup versus the Texans. Mm-hmm. And the contest here was higher or lower, 32.5 receiving yards. And OBJ went out there and he caught one pass for 12 yards.
He did do that.
He did. And I went higher and you went lower, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts you at 11-8 and me at 10-9.
Commanding lead.
Commanding lead. And we got a little bit of time left. So it's, you know, no one's finished this thing yet. And this week, we're going to go back to the Ravens because, hey, my team's still in there.
Let's do it. What's Justice?
And they're playing the Chiefs. Oh, you thought Justice Hill, but no, we're talking about Gus Edwards.
Oh, Gummy Gus. What do we got for Gummy Gus, the Gator Bus?
Higher or lower, 41.5 rushing yards.
Gus Edwards, higher or lower. What was it again? I'm sorry.
41.5 rushing yards. What is the Gus Bus going to do?
He's going over. That's what I think he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some Gus Edwards.
I do as well. I love Gus Bus. I'm going to go higher here as well. I think the Chiefs struggle against the run up the middle. We're going to see a lot of that with Gus this coming Sunday. And we're going to get over 41.5.
Yeah, I think so. The game is in Baltimore, correct?
Game is in Baltimore.
It is in Baltimore. All right. Go Ravens. And if you're a Chiefs fan, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. Regardless, I hope everybody enjoys the game. Thank you for listening. Don't forget about our free Patreon trial. Patreon.com/DynastyRewind. Try it out for a week. Tell me how you like it. Tell me how you love it. And then stick around for a while. Till next time, everybody. Thanks again for listening. Thinking about which rookies to target in your fantasy football draft? Look no further than the NFL Mock Draft Database. We are your home for all things NFL mock drafts by sourcing experts and analysts from all over the internet. NFL Mock Draft Database also offers users an ever-changing consensus player rankings to keep you informed on the incoming draft class as you build your dynasty team. Think you have what it takes to be a GM in the NFL? Give our free NFL Mock Draft Simulator a spin, which offers many features such as pick trading, historical draft years, and more. Join us at www.nflmockdraftdatabase.com or follow us on X at @mockdrafts. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code REWIND. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.